Could we just bow our heads as we speak to God in prayer? Oh God and most merciful Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this beautiful day. The pleasant sunshine. We thank you for the overnight rains. We thank you for the lightnings, the thunders, all of these wonderful acts of nature. And today, dear God and Father, as we would seek to look into your word and to be edified by thee, we pray, dear God, that your word might strengthen our spiritual lives and give us a clearer, much clearer understanding of the precious person of thy blessed self. Today, O God, bless this lecture and bless all the activities and this Bible campsite during the course of this week. Open up our understandings to new truths. Help us, O God, to be simplistic in all of our presentations. And may your word continue to make root in our hearts and in our lives. For Christ's sake, amen. Last night, in the keynote address, I remember, if not everything, I remembered our brother mentioning the testimony of God. And what he said that I recorded in my mind is that the testimony is a solemn declaration of God. Now, this topic, this series, are not as simplistic as saying the testimony of God, the testimony of Christ. But I believe that the Spirit of God would allow us, as we go into this topic, to get a clearer understanding of the mind of God. What is a testimony? And I would like to borrow those words from Brother Ashton Bristol. A solemn declaration of God. But I imagine that we have under 14 and smaller ones, and we need to get something to our own level. And a testimony is something that is of importance to you. A testimony is a highlight in your life. A testimony is something that when you think about it, you are excited. And I believe that the testimony of God, that the Lord Jesus, the gospel which you would look at, must have excited the heart of God, because it reminds us of the person of the Lord Jesus. I remember many years ago when I was still young. I was at that time a student at the Cable campus, the University of the West Indies. And out of an experience there, I had a testimony. An examination was coming up, and I wanted that extra time to do my studies, because the toughest course, the toughest exam was coming on Monday morning, bright and early. Sunday came, and I said to myself, well, this is the time for me to push a little harder. And I honestly prayed that the rain will come. And I would have a very good excuse to be at home. Of course, in those days, for those of you who are Barbadians, I worshipped at Whitehall. And I think of Sister Winnie Watson coming to pick me up for church, for worship. I really wanted an excellent excuse not to attend so that I could push in some more work for my study. I wanted an A. And I tell you, the rain really began to come. And so it seems as if my excuse was getting more logical not to go. But suddenly the rain stopped. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart that Sunday morning, not forsaking the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. And I started to get myself ready. I said, Lord, you know what the examination is. You have seen it already. And you will show me what I must write and what I must study. And I set off that Sunday morning to Whitehall. And I tell you, when I got back from Whitehall, yes, I was blessed. And I said, Lord, show me what I must study. Not like today when you have semester programs. It was a whole year's work. And so it was very demanding. It had, that subject had a very high pass, a high failure rate. And God showed me three areas that I must concentrate on. And that Monday morning I was ready. I turned to section one. There were three sections. I turned to section one and I ticked off the first question that the Lord showed me to do. I was prepared for it. I turned to section two and I ticked off the next one. And I turned to section three and I ticked off the third one. And then I started to work. Thank God that was my testimony. Of the goodness of God. Today, what every single one of us sitting here this morning has a testimony. Something that we can talk about. For God, the testimony of God is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. The gospel of his grace. This is what God can talk about. This is what is the delight of the heart of God. Not so much what is happening here on earth. Not so much the opening of the day to a bright sunshine. Not so much the lightnings and the thunders that he commands. Not so much the waves and the winds that obey his voice. But the person of the Lord Jesus, who is the nucleus, the object of the gospel. This morning I would just like us to look, because I will be going through these as quickly as possible. I like us to look to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And read in verse 1. And I read, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Here it is. A young intellectual by the name of the Apostle Paul. He had been converted from Judaism. And this young intellectual came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And what this young intellectual, this brilliant man was saying here, that he did not come to the people at Corinth with excellent speeches, but he came to declare the testimony of God. And what is the testimony of God? It is the gospel of his grace. The gospel. What is the gospel, we may ask? The gospel is good news. Good news about something. Good news about someone. That's the gospel. And throughout the scripture, we would see different kinds of gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That we see recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see the gospel of the kingdom. We see the everlasting gospel. All of these are different gospels. But this morning our focus is on the grace of God, the person of the Lord Jesus. I want us today, as we look at the testimony of God, to look at the purpose of the gospel. The person of the gospel. The people of the gospel. The process of the gospel. And the possession of this gospel. The purpose. I think, and when I consider the person of God as he reflects on the Lord Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am what? I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I have found my absolute delight. This person called the Lord Jesus excited the heart of God. God was overwhelmed with this person. God was satisfied with him. And what is the purpose of this gospel? What is the purpose of this Lord Jesus? What is the purpose of this person? And so we have in Acts chapter 4 from verse 10 to 12, we can just read it together very quickly. Acts chapter 4 verse 10 to 12, and it reads, I invite us all to read together. Be it known unto all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which was set at naught, of you holiness. Is there salvation in any other? For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby he must be saved. The purpose of the gospel. And here we have the purpose of the gospel. Is that man everywhere might know the Lord Jesus. This is one of the purpose of the gospel. To know Christ and him crucified. Not so much to hear about a prophet, but to know Christ. And the purpose of the gospel today is that
every man, every woman, boy and girl might come to know the Lord Jesus, to know him as a person. God wanted to present this person to the world, that all men might have an opportunity to know him. And as we have in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, not only to know him, but that all might come to repentance. Beloved, this morning, I think of a world where man is not saved. I think of a world where man does not know God. And it is hard to conceive a world without God, without the person of the Lord Jesus. And so the purpose of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, one, will be presented to the world of sinners. Two, that all men may have an opportunity to know Christ and to afford every man an opportunity for eternal life. He has not called the righteous, but thank God, sinners to repentance. The purpose of the gospel. And so we turn now to the person of the gospel. The person of the gospel. Who is the person of the gospel? The Lord Jesus. He is the one who fulfilled all the righteous demands of God. The person of the gospel. And when we think of the Lord Jesus, we think of that person who have captured the mind of his Father. We think of the Lord Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. All who were around Peter, James, and John, they said, it is nice for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The scripture says that their eyes were on the beauty of the Mount of Transfiguration. But they suddenly found themselves flat on their faces. Then the Lord Jesus came and touched them. And when they opened their eyes, the scripture said, they saw no man save Jesus only. This morning, we are not here to present a biography of the Lord Jesus. And scripture does not present a biography of him. Scripture does not present a CV of him. Scripture presents a person. This morning, the Lord Jesus is that person. And I'm reminded of an object lesson where 4 boys were asked to describe a camel. And one looked at the camel from the back. One looked at the camel from the belly. 2 on either side looked at the camel from either side. And they all constructed their description of this camel. This morning, God has allowed 4 men, 4 righteous men, to write about the person of the Lord Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents the Lord Jesus as king. Mark presents the same Lord Jesus as the servant of God. Luke presented the Lord Jesus as man, the son of man. But John presented the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. The Son of God. This is how these persons presented this precious person. The same Lord Jesus, on your notes, he occupied three major offices in Scripture. As prophet, as priest, and as king. As prophet, the Scripture reminds us in Hebrews chapter 1 that in time past, God spoke by the word, by the prophets. But in these last days, he is speaking through his Son. And so the Lord Jesus occupies that position as prophet. He is also our priest, our high priest. This one man, for by one man, this one single man, he offered himself as a sacrifice to God. Nothing could have satisfied the heart of God as the Lord Jesus. No goats, no bulls, no bird, nothing could have satisfied the righteous demands of God. And so the Lord Jesus was presented in the Gospels as the priest. Today he is our high priest. He is also presented as king. Art thou the king of the Jews? The Lord's response was, thou seest it. And at this point we go to the next point, which is the people of the gospel. And I like to say, every one of us have an opportunity to be a people of the gospel. I think of the Lord Jesus as he walked along the lakeside of Galilee. And the scripture says he was in search of people. And there he met some men who mended their nets because they were fishermen. Peter, James, and John, and those persons, Andrew, they were there. But you think of the Lord Jesus as he called these men. And he called them for service. Today, you and I are part of the people of the gospel. God is calling you young men and women to be the people of his gospel. Men and women who would present the Lord Jesus to a world of sinners lost. I look around here this morning and I remember when myself and Brother Rice and Brother Brian, even Brother Legister, whom I met some years in Jamaica, we were much younger than we are. Today, my sister said we are just maturing. We are maturing more. My sons, my daughters have to take up the mantle. My sons and my daughters, our children, you are the ones today who have to be the people of the gospel to present the Lord Jesus to a world of sinners lost. One day I be old and dead. Many of us are perhaps in the waiting room waiting to go home to meet our Lord. But who will take over? It must be the people whom the Lord Jesus has called. And thank God that he does not segregate who must be. He does not say, I only want these people on the side. I only want those who are in the metropolis. I only want those who are in certain countries in the Caribbean. He is calling everyone. Not saying that he's not going to Lavendale. Not saying that he's not going to Sheriff Street in Guyana. He's not saying that he is not going into Paul's Avenue, or he's not going to Otley Hall in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. He's not saying that he's not going down to Nelson Street. Thank God he is going everywhere, and he's everywhere. The people of the gospel. The process. And I just want to highlight the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, which we all know quite well. The story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. And we think of this treasurer, we think of this accountant, perhaps an economist in his day, the director of public finance. And this man, he was just returning from a religious function and was on his way home. The Spirit of God came to him in the person of Philip, a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And he drew himself to this Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip asked him this question, do you understand what you are reading? He said, how can I cannot understand this language. It is too high for me. And so the Spirit of God working through to Philip presents the Lord Jesus, the testimony of God, presents the Lord Jesus as the Lamb who was sacrificed for him. Was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, yet what? He opened not his mouth. And when the Ethiopian eunuch digested who Jesus is, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the scripture says he was converted. Came to the point where he met a pool of water, whether it was enough to cover him or not. He said, stand still. What hindereth me from being what? Baptized. And so this morning, beloved ones, there is a process. You and I must come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We have to respond to the gospel. Peter did, Andrew did, the scripture said they left their nets and followed Christ. Yes, the process. And so, as we look at the process, we think of the preacher. And the word of God reminds us that you and I, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to present the good news of Jesus Christ. How can they hear if there is no preacher? The scripture says, repent. And what? Be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And so, as I attempt to close, I look at this possession. We are not in the gospel business for sham. there is incentive for every person who gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Young man, there's incentive for you to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young lady, there is incentive. And before you even do one single good work, apart from giving your life to the Lord Jesus, God has already a commission for you. God already has that reward for you. The payment. God already has eternal life for you. Says, for the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life. And so, to every single one of us this morning, there is a possession. Something that you can hold on to, and that is eternal life. Young ones today, as you come to the end of this presentation, the question may be asked, what is your testimony? What is your testimony? The greatest testimony that anyone can ever have is to know that they can speak about the gift of God, which is eternal life. This is the greatest testimony that you can have. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why is the gospel so important? Why is it the testimony of God? It is the testimony of God because it presents to all of us the Lord Jesus, the person of the Lord Jesus. This is the nucleus of the testimony of God, the Lord Jesus himself. Could we just bow our heads as we speak to God in prayer? Father, we thank you this morning for reminding us of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning, O God, that we are able to see the testimony of God. And standing out most is the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus, the one whom is your absolute delight. We hear you resounding from the heavens. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We hear your words resounding in the book of the Revelation. There is no need for light, for the Lord himself is the light of it. Who is the King of glory? No other but the Lord God Almighty. What a precious person we have this morning. And help us, O God, as we go through this week, that the person of the Lord Jesus would be our absolute delight. We pray, O God, that he would fill our hearts, that from our lives he might illuminate as that all together, lovely one. We thank you today for this presentation, for this lecture. And we pray, oh God, that it might really bring light to this very important topic, the testimony. May we have a testimony of you, for Christ's sake. Amen.